you guys. Time for the Flickers of Fear show. These are my horror movie reviews. The one we have today, this is so random, you guys, like how I ended up watching this one. Because you know how there's like a million horror movies, and a lot of them are on Tubi, Amazon Prime, Netflix. You know, it's like I have pretty much all of the streaming services, Hulu, whatever. And there's so many movies on there, and it's really, really hard to sort through good ones, bad ones, you know what I mean? Just because there's so many, you don't have like several lifetimes to watch them all. So I had seen this particular movie, which is called Look Away, and I had seen it while I was scrolling through. I think I originally saw it when I was scrolling through the horror movies on Tubi, and then I saw it on the free to me like section on Amazon Prime as well. And I didn't really think that much about it. Like, I kind of thought, you know, the poster looked kind of cool and stuff, but I didn't really think about it. So then one day, I'm on in my YouTube recommendations. I'm subscribed to this one horror channel. Like, he reviews movies, and it's called Drum Dums. And he had actually made a video about this movie. And he's like, why isn't anybody talking about this? Because it's really, really good. And then I was like, well, you know, maybe I should put that on my list because it looked kind of decent. Like, the way he talked about it, he showed the trailer. And he talked about what it was about, and I was like, that sounds actually pretty cool. So I decided to sit down and watch it. And you know what? It was pretty damn good. And it's just like, I really like when shit like that happens. Like when you just kind of come across this random ass movie that maybe wouldn't get seen. The weird thing about this movie too is that if you look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, it only has, I think, 12 critic reviews, and it has a 17% rating. So there are obviously like a lot of really negative reviews. But the weird thing about it is that if you go to like horror channels on YouTube, like, you know, like I said, like Drum Dums or Sinister Cinema or something like that, it's like those reviews are actually really, really positive. And most of the other horror blogs and things like that that actually reviewed us, and there weren't a lot, pretty much all of those were actually, they're like, yeah, this is actually a pretty solid psychological thriller, and I would tend to agree. This is actually a really, really good movie, and it's kind of a shame that it sort of didn't really go anywhere, you know what I'm saying? So this came out in 2018. It's Canadian. It was directed by Asaf Bernstein, who I think is Israeli, and I don't know if it's his first movie or not, but it's actually like really, really accomplished, and it's got like some kind of big, you know, names in it. Now, the main girl that plays the main part, Maria, India Isley, I had seen her before. I think she was in one of the Underworld movies, and she's been in a couple other movies as well. So she's not, you know, coming out of nowhere or anything. Her dad is actually played by Jason Isaacs in a really super creepy kind of turn. I'll get into that in a little bit. And her mom is played by Mira Sorvino. So there are like some kind of big stars in this. And I feel like it's sort of a shame that it didn't really do better, because I feel like it deserved a lot better than it got, I suppose, because I guess it sort of got forgotten about. So as I said, this came out in 2018. Now, what the story behind this, I think originally it was called Behind the Glass, like when it was first reviewed or when it first came out in festivals or whatever, but then they changed it to Look Away when it came out in late 2018. So at the center of it, you have this high school girl who's 17 or 18 years old named Maria, played by India Isley. And she is a really beautiful girl, but she's real shy, she's real introverted, and she's real bullied. It's a very Carrie situation where pretty much everybody at the school just thinks she's a weirdo for whatever reason. I mean, you can kind of see why, because she's, you know, like I said, she's very shy. She doesn't really talk a lot. She is like a little weird and keeps to herself a lot. And she also seems to have, although they never say this outright, but she does seem to have maybe an eating disorder. Because she's, you know, she doesn't eat a lot and her mom's kind of always on her case about it. So there's that whole situation. Now, she does have actually one friend, this sort of quintessential, beautiful, blonde, popular girl type. But again, implication being that they've been friends since they were kids. And it's almost kind of like, I don't want to say it's like a frenemy situation, but it's kind of like that, where I think like the popular girl just sort of like tolerates her and just has her around, because obviously her coolness or popularity is not rubbing off on her friend in any way, shape, or form. So it's that kind of situation going on, which, like I said, you know, I've seen that kind of situation play out in real life, so I kind of know what they're getting at with that. One of the most fucked up things about this movie is not just the bullying situation, which is terrible, and there's actually like one dude at school who's like this super weird looking, and he has seemingly made it his mission in life to make Maria's life as miserable as possible. And he goes like pretty far. Like he'll do like some physical shit, like, you know, tripping her. Oh, didn't mean to do that. And he's just kind of like always wanting to humiliate her and shit. So there's that whole situation. But even worse than that is the shit that she's dealing with at home. So her parents are some of the most dysfunctional people I've ever seen on screen. Well, I mean, I don't want to say that because I've seen some pretty like fucked up shit. But her dad in particular, played by Jason Isaacs, he is so good in this. He is like so fucking creepy and perverted. So her dad is a plastic surgeon. Now her family are like really, really well off. They live in like this really gorgeous like house, but it's a really, the one thing about this movie is that it's really cold and it's really sterile. And I think like the cinematography of that, like does a good job of conveying that, how she doesn't really have anybody that cares about her in her life, or at least that's how she's perceiving it. And honestly, it does kind of seem like that. Just gotta say. But yeah, her dad is a plastic surgeon, and his whole thing is he is obsessed with perfection. So it's very embarrassing to him that his daughter is not good enough in his eyes. Like, she's not pretty enough, she's not thin enough, she's not popular enough. He thinks she's a weirdo and a screw up. And he's kind of not shy about saying it, like, to his wife, even when Maria is in earshot, which, like I said, that's really got to fuck up a teenager hearing that from your own fucking dad. Like how messed up she, look at her, look at her. It's like she's got problems and this and that and the other thing. And it's really, really messed up. And he's always kind of criticizing her appearance, even though she's a perfectly beautiful young woman. And that probably is contributing to her not wanting to eat because maybe she thinks, oh, I'm not thin enough, I'm not perfect enough. And it's really sad because she always seems to be wanting to be perfect and just failing miserably, and it's really like kind of fucking her up. Her mom and her dad is also like fucking around on the mom, because of course he is. And the mom sort of is in denial. She's kind of a pill popper. Well, it's not even from her point of view. It's kind of like the husband is kind of like always going, oh, you're hysterical, here, take your Xanax or whatever the fuck. And so he's kind of keeping her a little bit medicated. And the mom is also a little bit delusional too, because I think she's you know, the dad is like really, really controlling of both the daughter and the wife. So I think the wife is kind of living in this fantasy world where this dude is actually not a piece of shit and actually does care about her. And all she has to do is, you know, just be perfect and be awesome and all these other things. And, you know, everything will sort itself out and he'll love her again or whatever. So that's kind of a sad thing to like see play out. There's one really creepy scene too, like where she's kind of trying to tell him that something is the matter with the daughter, which is true. And he just doesn't want to hear it. And he's like, you know, you're getting hysterical, here, take your medication. And then she lays down on the bed and he like puts a, you know, like a mud mask or whatever, you know what I mean? He puts that like on her face. And I was just kind of like, ooh, that says a lot. Like that's kind of seen. It's like, here, you're getting old, bitch, or whatever. So he's like fucking around with one of his patients as well. So, you know, we'll get into that. The interesting thing about this movie is that even though this is kind of like a mirror image, evil twin type of movie, but it takes a really long time to set up Maria's life and all of these characters, you know, all of these people, her friends, her family, her, you know, the bullies at school. They kind of set up this entire thing for almost, I think, pretty much like half the movie, like before you even get into the body swapping or whatever it is, which I thought was a really good thing to do, because you really got a sense of her character, you really got a sense of the family situation, what she was putting up with, and you got a sense of why she maybe needed this thing to happen. And like I said, it leaves it ambiguous, and I'll get into that in a minute, like whether she's just imagining it all, or if it's like supernatural or whatever. So, you know, I don't really want to spoil too much about it, but this is one of the ones where it's like it doesn't have a big twist or anything like that. So it's not like it's going to ruin your enjoyment of the movie or anything like that if I tell you some of the shit that happens in it. So about at the halfway point of the movie, Maria finds like it's kind of like tucked behind a mirror. She sees like a little piece of a corner of a piece of paper or something sticking out from behind the mirror. And she pulls it out and it's a sonogram photo of twins. Now, from this and a couple of sort of weird dream sequences that the mom has, you're led to believe that Maria maybe had a twin in the womb that was born deformed or there was something wrong with her. And perhaps the dad euthanized the kid because it wasn't perfect. We don't know if that's really what happened, but that's kind of what's implied. You know what I'm saying? So Maria finds this, and shortly after finding this photo, her reflection in the bathroom mirror starts to do different shit to what she's doing. So, you know, obviously this freaks her the fuck out, as it would. But after a bit, this reflection starts talking to her and says that her name is Aram, which is Maria spelled backwards. And she basically, so her and Aram on the other side of the mirror, Aram is kind of everything that Maria isn't. She's very confident. She's very, you know, she's very sexual. She's kind of a wild child and shit like that. And she is pretty much like, you know who I am. I've been here the whole time. I've seen everything that's happened to you. And she kind of like gives this litany of all these things that happened to Maria when she was younger that Maria had tried to forget about because they were humiliating or whatever. And she's like, I remember every single thing. Nobody really cares about you but me. And, you know, all you have to do is let me out of here and, you know, I'll fix things. That's what she keeps saying. So for a long time, Maria is just kind of wigged out. But then, you know, Aram starts kind of working on her, like some terrible things happen to Maria. You know, she gets humiliated by her friend. She gets really humiliated, like at the prom, like I said, again, like kind of like Carrie, not the same exact thing, but a similar kind of situation. At that point, she says, okay, you know, me and you can trade places and you can come out. And so she has to like kiss her through the mirror. And then at which point Maria becomes Aram, and Aram starts taking horrible, horrible revenge on all of the people that have fucked over Maria in her life, including her best friend, who, like I said, is kind of a twunt. All the bullies at school. Also gets with the twunt's boyfriend, who Maria had had a crush on. And so she kind of fixes stuff, but she also kind of fucks things up. One thing I will note is that even though Maria is now trapped behind the glass, she's now trapped behind the mirror and now just has to like watch all of the shit that Aram is doing. And she gets like kind of upset about it. Like, you know, obviously shit like, you know, Aram kills the best friend. Well, she doesn't kill her directly. She just like engineers it sort of so that there's an accident and then the friend ends up dying. So, you know what I mean? And I can see how that would be upsetting and stuff, but the people in Maria's life are so shitty that you don't really feel all that bad, which I don't know. It's, I guess, because like I said, you're seeing things from Maria's point of view. So I guess that's kind of what it'd be like. But when she actually sees the shit playing out, because that's the thing, when Aram is out doing whatever, as long as there's a reflective surface somewhere, she can see what Aram is doing, and vice versa, like when they were on the other side of the mirror. So she basically goes around this whole entire time and fixes things and, you know, fucks up people that, you know, did shitty stuff and needed to be fucked up. And, you know, and it just kind of goes from there. Now, like I said, this movie, it's a psychological thriller. It does have some gore in it. You know, people's throats get slashed, people's heads get smashed, you know, shit like that. So it's like a slasher movie or anything, but it kind of gave me a little bit of a Black Swan kind of vibe sort of thing too. But like, it's like I said, sort of an evil twin thing. But I think it was kind of cool that they left it ambiguous as to whether Maria, like, is this a real supernatural thing? Did Maria really have a twin that her dad essentially killed because the baby was deformed or whatever? And she has some kind of like weird memory of that, you know, or now that's like her ghost or whatever, like behind the mirror. And it's like something supernatural is going on. Or is she just perceiving that this is her, like her alter ego? And now she's taken on. So it's still her, but she's like taken on the, you know, the opposite of herself, like she becomes her evil twin. And they kind of leave it ambiguous as to which one of those that is, which I think was like kind of a good, I think it was a good choice, because it could kind of go either way. And the last scene I thought was kind of cool, because she doesn't do anything bad to her mom, because her mom, you know, her mom didn't do anything like directly bad to her. She was just kind of weak and shit like that. Now she does expose her dad's affair like to the mom, so to kind of, you know, bust the mom out of her complacency or whatever. It's like, hey, look, you know, dad's a piece of shit, like cheating on you and he's doing all these other things. So kind of makes her face reality, and she doesn't like it. But in a lot of ways, the stuff that Aram does, even though she's kind of like the evil twin, probably kind of needed to be done. I'm not saying she should go around like murdering people and stuff, but like I said, some of the people were so shitty that you really didn't feel all that bad about it. So you know what I mean. But some of the stuff she did was actually probably good. And she was kind of upfront and honest about things and like opened up lines of communication that probably needed to be opened up. So it's kind of like, yeah, it you know, it kind of could go either way. Is it good? Is it bad? It was kind of both things. But yeah, so like the last scene is just kind of like, she, like I said, she doesn't do anything to the mom. The mom was just weak. She didn't do anything, you know, terrible. And the last scene is kind of like, you know, a mirror, and it's like the mom, and then, you know, the Maria is on one side, and then it keeps flipping back and forth, and like Naerim's on this side, and then it's kind of like, then there's both of them. So it's almost kind of like at the end, they were both sort of brought together, you know what I mean? And now they're like one person, now they're like a whole person. But yeah, so basically, like I said, this movie, it seemed like it came out late 2018. It's a Canadian film, kind of went nowhere. Got like really bad reviews from like general critics, but it seemed like most of the horror critics that I read that had seen it actually really dug it. And I really dug it too. I was like, it looked really cool. The cinematography was gorgeous. It was very cold, very snowy, very sterile. And I think that was like a really good kind of look for it to have. It really gave it like a mood and everything. But yeah, it's, I definitely would recommend checking out if you like psychological thrillers, like Evil Twin kind of shit. Really well done. All the performances are good. The dad in this, played by Jason Isaacs, is super, super fucking creepy. I mean, he decides he's gonna give Maria like a facelift for her birthday, like her 18th birthday, even though she thought she was gonna get a car. And then he's like, no, we gotta fix your ears. They kind of stick out too much, and your nose will make it longer, and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's like so fucked up. And it's like, there's some kind of weird, they don't go super into this, but there is some kind of like weird psychosexual stuff going on there, because I think the dad's kind of into the daughter, and I don't know, it's like really, really creepy. But yeah, so if you like psychological thrillers, this is kind of one that flew under the radar, and I feel like more people should see it, because it's actually, it's pretty fucking good. I mean, I thought it was pretty damn good for being, you know, for kind of coming out of nowhere and me just like hearing about it randomly. But yeah, it's on Tubi if you want to watch it for free. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can also watch it for free on there. Might be on some, it might be on Hulu too, now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, I would definitely recommend checking out. I really dug it, and you may too. So let me know if you've seen it and tell me your thoughts about it in the comments. And I will see you on the next one. Bye.